During General Assembly Week in New York City, reality gets a little warped. It's as though all the bright stars and political heavyweights from all over the world in such close proximity distort time and space. For a moment yesterday, I found myself at the center of the upcoming presidential race in Afghanistan. I was speaking to the visiting foreign minister of Afghanistan, Dr. Zalmay Rasool, who many believe has a chance to succeed Hamid Karzai as the president next year. I compared him to Hillary Clinton, with whom I said he had one thing in common.
You both get asked whether you're running for president. I suspect your answer is more candid than hers. Are you running for president?
Not as candid as you think. I think the deadline for registration for candidacy in Afghanistan is going to be the 6th of October. And I think by 7th of October, everybody will know.
I see.
Rasool was being interviewed by me at a closed event before a live audience at the Asia Society in New York last night. It was a chance for him to talk about the hard road his country has traveled in the past 12 years in its war with the Taliban and to look at the future. For instance, will the Taliban be in the next government?
First of all, I think it is crucial and vital for the future of Afghanistan that the election should happen on time. It is the first time, as I mentioned in our history, that a transition of power will go from one elected president to another political exit. And that's crucial, because if he succeeds to have an election in which the result is accepted by the majority of the Afghan people, I firmly believe that the democratic process will be rooted in the Afghan society forever.
What is your view? President Rouhani today of Iran was very critical of the U.S. drone program throughout the region in South Asia, including Afghanistan. Do you think that the drone program of the United States, if it continues beyond 2014, is a threat to Afghanistan sovereignty?
You know, as I mentioned, we are at the moment at a critical point of discussion with the United States about the bilateral security agreement. The bilateral security agreement means that the presence of certain number of U.S. forces in Afghanistan and certain bases, the reason of them is to help, train, and equip Afghan national security forces, but also for the continuation of war against terrorism. Now, what you are discussing at the moment is to define the terrorism. Who is terrorist, who is not terrorist? I think that is something that we are under discussion, and by hope that by end of October, we will finalize that.
The U.S., of course, has a track record of wanting to define terrorists on its terms, not necessarily on the terms of some of its partners. Is this a tough negotiation?
It's not a tough negotiation. It is a serious negotiation because, the fight against terrorism is not only in the benefit of Afghanistan. It's the benefit of the world in the United States. The reason that the United States came to liberate Afghanistan in 2001, it was the attack in New York. So the fact that that the terrorism has provoked these things, we need to have a common definition.
What will it take in this new election? What will a leader need to have to unite this country of so many traditional divisions over the last three decades and to move it forward as a, you've even used the term, post-ethnic Afghanistan?
First of all, I think Afghanistan has no ethnic problem today. Of course, it's formed by ethnic group like a lot of other countries are formed from ethnic groups. The fact that Afghanistan is kept within its geography because of the United Afghan people. But I firmly believe that in Afghanistan today, we are proud to have different ethnic group, but there is no ethnic problem in Afghanistan. That's something that portrayed outside Afghanistan a long time. But inside Afghanistan, you have traveled a lot. You don't see any problem between our ethnic brothers.
Although you do see people called warlords who acquire largesse, whether it's military, economic, and try to organize either geographically or along ethnic lines. Is 2014 a moment of unemployment for the traditional warlords who have determined power in so many places in Afghanistan?
First of all, the warlords do not represent the Afghan people. So I think more we advance toward a more democratic Afghanistan, more our kids goes to school. I mentioned to you, when we came to Kabul in the end of 2001, the girls or boys who had 8 years or 9 years old now are 20 or 21 years old. They have access, as you mentioned, to the internet, to the Facebook, Twitter. They have 36 channels of television that they're watching every night. And over 65% of the Afghan population today are younger than 25 years old. So this very important social force for the future of Afghanistan. And we're going to build Afghanistan with this youngster, not the old one.
A very wise person in Kabul once said to me that the Afghan people are entrepreneurs of misfortune and that they are able to turn crisis into stability and national identity, but that they would love to have the chance to be entrepreneurs of a growing economy. Is this generation the generation that you believe will emerge for the first time in 30 years from war?
Definitely. You know, 11 years is not a long time in the history of the country. And you said yourself that the Afghanistan of 2000, if you compare Afghanistan of 2000 to Afghanistan of 2013, you cannot compare it. And you mentioned yourself that there was no girl in school, that women were not considered a human being in Afghanistan, that all that achievement that you have made is within 12 years. And 12 years is not a long time in a country that came from ground zero.
You know, it's an amazing week here in New York with the talk of a possible new relationship between the United States and Iran. That would certainly have repercussions for your region. It's also an extraordinary moment in history in the sense that as we speak, Syria, Egypt, Libya, and other nations are struggling with the daunting task of nation building, a path that you've been on for 12 years.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about this sense of change between the U.S. and Iran, and any advice for the nations who are looking at a very long road ahead to build the kinds of national success that you're beginning to experience in Afghanistan.
First of all, Iran is a neighbor of Afghanistan. We have a long historical, linguistic, and religious relation with Iran. And Afghanistan cannot be peaceful and stable without having a good relation with Iran. To the second part, more there is a better relation between Iran and the United States, I think the region and Afghanistan will benefit from it, and everybody will benefit from it. And I hope that this emergence of a new view in Iran will provide an environment in which our region will benefit from it.
Visiting Foreign Minister of Afghanistan Zalmay Rasool, speaking to me in New York yesterday.